If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, would you turn with me to John chapter 8? I mentioned that a moment ago. John chapter 8 and verse number 32. And we're going to look at one verse this morning, and then we're referring to several verses around that one verse, John 8 verse 32. And I want to talk to you for just a few minutes here today about true freedom. Now, that's not a combination of words that you're likely to hear out in society today, true and freedom together in one little phrase. A matter of fact, we're living in a world where increasingly more and more people do not believe in such a thing as truth. They don't know what is true, what is not true. Matter of fact, in my research over the last several months, as we've been in this time and online, those sorts of things, I came across a thing called deep fake, kind of like fake news, but even worse, and where they have the ability to make you say anything that you've never said before. Matter of fact, there was a nation, a small country, had a dictator, got sick, and people were beginning to speculate that he was dead. All of a sudden, he showed up for a press conference. He looked worse than dead, actually. And there was this controversy that surrounded whether or not he was actually even real, whether he was still alive. Some people said that he was. Some people said that he was not. Kind of like the Fast and the Furious. Remember how they ended up that you didn't even know that guy was dead? And so today, you don't even know what is true, what is not true. And then you put freedom in that sign, in together with that phrase, true freedom. And we're living in a nation where there's an increasing rise of either anarchy or socialism. And so that's not a combination that you're going to hear today. And yet it is exactly what Jesus is talking about here in John 8 and verse number 32. If you've got your Bibles open up there, just say amen. It helps me to know that you're there with me. How many of y'all watched yesterday on social media where I posted the picture of my notebook that I had written out all of my sermon notes, placed it up in the dash of my great big black Ford Expedition on a hot Georgia day, left it there for a couple of hours. Did you all know that erasable ink, if you stick it under heat, it disappears? Yeah. But can I tell you what you may not know? If you put it in the freezer overnight, it comes back. I always knew that God was on my side. Amen. John chapter 8 and verse number 32 today. I went back and wrote it again, so that's the one I'll follow today. John 8 and verse 32. Notice what Jesus says here. Jesus says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I'm going to read that one more time. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I love to read. I'm a bookworm. I love to read. If you go upstairs to my library, you'll notice I love to read. And one of the things I'm so looking forward to getting to the end of this PhD, about two-thirds of the way through, got comps coming up this fall. I'm looking forward to the day, the time, when I can once again read for my own personal pleasure and enjoyment, and not hundreds and hundreds of pages a day at the assignment of some professor. But when I get back to that time, when I get to read, one of my favorite things to read are biographies. I love biographies. Theodore Rex, the biography on Theodore Roosevelt. You've got the one on George Washington. And then also one of my favorites of all time was written by Walter Isaacson on Benjamin Franklin. And it's called An American Life. It's a great big book, about that thick. And in that biography on one of the most famous and influential founders of our nation, of course, Benjamin Franklin, there is a scene. It's on page 354, right around there, I think. And there's this scene between Benjamin Franklin and the aging atheistic French philosopher Voltaire. And Benjamin Franklin has taken his grandson, 7-year-old grandson, Benjamin Franklin Bach, better known as Benny, over for a ceremonial visit to this 84-year-old French philosopher. And matter of fact, they had already been reports that Voltaire was dead. And like Mark Twain just earlier, he said that the reports were true, just premature. And so they were there in Voltaire's sitting room, and Benjamin Franklin looks over at Voltaire, and he asked him to pronounce a benediction, a blessing, upon his 7-year-old grandson, Benny. And so Voltaire walks over, and he places his hands on this young boy with all of his disciples surrounding him, and he makes this benediction. He says, in English, by the way, this Frenchman, in English says, "God and liberty. Never forget those two words." You know, it's a smart man that places God and liberty in the same sentence. I wish he had just taken his own advice, but that's another sermon. But that's exactly what Samuel Francis Smith did in his patriotic hymn. Remember, our fathers, God to thee, author of liberty, the writers of the Declaration of Independence did the exact same thing. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so you come to John chapter 8 and verse 32, and you're going to find that Jesus did the exact same thing. He connected God and liberty together, God and freedom. Now, the Jews, if you look in verse number 33, just look right down there in verse 33, the Jews thought that he was talking about political freedom. And so they responded by saying, we've never been in bondage. Why are you talking about freedom? We've never been bondage to anybody, when at the exact moment that they made that statement, they were under the iron heel of Roman rule. And so that's what happens so often as you read about in the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus will talk about spiritual things, and people will misunderstand him to think that he's talking about physical things. For example, one day, Jesus said to a guy named Nicodemus one night, Nick at night, and he said to Nicodemus one night, he said, you must be born again. And so Nicodemus said, how does that work? I mean, I'm an old man. Do I go back up and climb back up into my mother's belly or into her womb and be born a second time? You see, Jesus was talking about the spiritual, but Nicodemus thought he was talking about the physical. To the woman at the well one day, Jesus said that out of your belly, he who believes in me, out of your belly will flow this artesian spring, this artesian well that will never run dry. And she said, how can you talk about all those sorts of things when you don't even have a bucket to put down in the well? Jesus was talking about the spiritual. She thought he was talking about the physical. And then you have these Jews one day. Jesus said to them, my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And they again thought he was talking literally, physically, when Jesus was talking spiritually. And so here in John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus is talking to this hostile group of Jews. And he says to them, you need freedom. You need liberty. And again, they respond by saying, why are you talking about liberty and freedom to us? We've never been under bondage to any man. Right. John chapter 8 verse 32 is a tremendous verse for you to grab a hold of, because when you grab a hold of it, it grabs a hold of you. Because we've got so many people in our churches and in our world today, they do not understand, they do not know what true freedom is. And there are people even today who are saved, maybe sitting here this morning, you're saved. You know that you know Jesus, you know that you're going to heaven when you die, and yet you do not really understand what true freedom is. You don't enjoy it, you're not experiencing what Jesus refers to here in John chapter 8 and verse number 32. And so I pray today that as you're listening, as you're here in the room, or as you're gathered online, that you'll follow along with me, and that you will come to the place where you understand and enjoy and experience the freedom that only comes from Jesus Christ. If you're taking notes, jot down this first thing this morning, and that is this thing, right, this statement right here. Truth is an absolute fact. Truth is an absolute fact, because Jesus said, and you will know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus didn't say you're going to know a few facts. He didn't say that you're going to get a little bit of knowledge. He said that you are going to know the truth. Look right here. There is such a thing as absolute truth. Now, again, people in our nation, people in our world, more and more folks do not believe that. You've got a rising generation that does not believe there is such a thing as absolute truth. And when somebody says to me, there is no such thing, Pastor, as absolute truth, I want to remind them that that is in and of itself an absolute truth statement. If you say there is no such thing as absolute truth, you have just negated what you've just said. And so I'll prove it to you this way. Are y'all still there this morning? I've been on vacation for 2 weeks. I'm ready to preach for an hour. Let me illustrate to you. Let's say you give me a check to cash, or we don't use checks anymore, so you hand me a $100 bill or $50 bill or whatever, and let's say I go to make change for you. And instead of bringing you back dollars, I just take the number of dollars and bring you back quarters instead. So you give me a $100 bill, I bring you back about $10 worth of quarters. Anybody good with that? Are you good with that? You know why? Because there are absolutes in the financial world. $100 is $100. Now, it's not worth as much as it used to be worth, but it's still the same stuff. It's still made out of the same stuff. $10 is still $10, and a dollar is still a dollar, and a dime is still a dime, because there are absolutes in the financial world. There are also absolutes in the medical world. Aspirin is not arsenic. Aren't you glad that there's some pharmacist that knows the difference? You see, when you take your prescription down to your pharmacist, there's a formula on there for what you are to get and how you are to get it, the dosage and all those sorts of stuff. And you want your pharmacist, look right here, guys, you want your pharmacist to believe in absolutes. Matter of fact, years ago when I was sharing this truth, my neighbor in Simpsonville was a pharmacist. And one day she said, "Pastor Brad, you are absolutely correct. There's a heart drug. I think it's Lanoxin. And there's a heart. Maybe you're on that drug. There's Lanoxin. And you either want the dosage that is 0.125 or you want the dosage that is 0.225. And if you get the wrong dosage, you will be taking a dirt nap. You want your pharmacist to believe in absolutes because there are absolutes in the financial world and there are absolutes in the medical world and there are absolutes in the automotive world. See, if something happens to your car, for example, this two Saturdays ago, we were in Charleston down getting pictures made. We do that every summer with the family. And 5:30 on a Saturday night, I got a little too far over in the right, hit a curb in downtown Charleston and blew my tire. Where were y'all to help me? That's why I had to call a tow truck to help me get out of downtown Charleston. But if something happens to your vehicle, your SUV, your soccer minivan, and you go to the parts store, they're going to get the make and model of your car, the VIN number, and they're going to know exactly the part that you need. And if they get a part that's just one number off, it may not work because there are absolutes in the automotive world. There are absolutes in the world of measurement. A foot is a foot. An inch is an inch. A meter is a meter. A mile is a mile. And so you can't wake up one morning and go, I want an inch to be 3 inches today. No, there are absolutes in the world of measurements. And so you put all that together, there are absolutes in the spiritual world as well. Why? Because the same God who made the physical world also made the spiritual world. The same God who made matter also made the soul. The same God who determined how long a day would be also declared and determines what is right and what is wrong. And so that's where the devil comes in. The devil is running rampant today. And so the devil comes in today just like he did with Adam and Eve there in the Garden of Eden back in Genesis chapter 2. And the devil says, "Has God indeed said?" How do you know what is right? How do you know what is wrong? How do you know what is true? How do you know what is not true? Well, God has revealed his truth to us in three ways. Are y'all still there this morning? Think about this. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Your word," the Bible, "your word is truth." Now, not just true, it is true, but it's more than that. It is truth. And so the word of God, God's word is truth. And then the Bible says over about Jesus, the Messiah, God's son, in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." And so God's word is truth. God's son is truth. And then also the Bible says that God's spirit is truth. 1 John 5, verse 6, the spirit is truth. And all of these work together. You see, if you believe something other than God's word, you're not believing the truth. If you believe in someone other than God's son, you're not believing the truth. If you rely on somebody other than God's spirit, you are not believing the truth. There is such a thing as truth. And one of the reasons, the main reasons why our world is in the mess that it is in today, all the chaos and all the confusion and all the stuff going on, would you have ever thought that we would live in a nation today where a group of people could take over like six square city blocks in one of our downtown major cities and just say, "This belongs to us now. It does not belong to you. You can't come in, police. We have lost our minds." Why? Because we have a world, we have an entire generation, and maybe even more so, that has been raised up away from the truth. But truth is an absolute fact. You don't break the law of gravity. Gravity breaks you. So truth is an absolute fact. Number two, truth can actually be found. Jesus says, "You shall know the truth." In other words, it's something that you can actually discover. It's not like something you dig and dig and dig and dig for and you can never find. You can actually come to the place where you know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Look right here. All truth is God's truth. I guarantee you, Ellis has heard this. Truth is immortal. Hubmeyer said that, early Baptist martyr. Truth is immortal. All truth is God's truth. Now, you look at me this morning. I'm from West Tennessee. My zip code growing up was EIEIO. I was raised in the country, I mean out in the sticks in the middle of nowhere. And so you can look at me this morning, and if I were to tell you that I love to study philosophy, you would know that I was a liar. I had to study it in college. I had to study it in seminary, but I really don't care for philosophy. I agree with what Harry Rimmer said, that philosophy is like a blind man in a dark room looking for a black cat that is not there. That's what philosophy is. Philosophy is, as one of my professors said, the study of more and more and more, of less and less and less, until you know everything about nothing. That's what philosophy is. Now, there is a place for Christian philosophy, and so we can get into that another time. But here's what philosophy literally means. The word philosophy literally means the love of truth. That's what philosophy is, the love of truth. Matter of fact, Cornelius Van Til said that philosophy is thinking God's thoughts after him. And that's what we can do. Look down there in verse 32. Notice what Jesus said. Are y'all still with me this morning? If you're online, give me a high five or something like that. Don't put an angry face on me, because I go back and I see who does that, and I think bad things about you. And so verse number 32, the Bible says down there, you shall know the truth. Now look right here. We're not talking here about an intellectual knowledge. We're talking about an intimate knowledge, like between a husband and his wife. We're not talking here about a head knowledge. We're talking here about a heart knowledge. It is a deep experiential knowledge that comes from spending time in God's Word with God's Son and with the insight of God's Spirit. And so you shall know the truth, a heart knowledge, not just a head knowledge. Do you realize that there are people, lots of people, who are going to miss heaven by about 18 inches, the distance between the head and the heart, because they have a head knowledge, but they do not have the heart knowledge. And you can always tell who has the head knowledge, because they study and they study and they study and they study and they study, and their head gets so big and it has so much pressure up there that it always has to come out, and it always comes out their mouth with somebody wanting to argue and debate and all those sorts of things. And over the years here at Abilene, I haven't been here very long at all as pastor, so I'm in my eighth or ninth year, whatever it is now, and after one of the services, these two little guys met me right down here at the front. One of them had a bald head and a fuzzy beard, and the other one had a bald face and so right down here, and they wanted to debate and discuss. And whenever somebody wants to just debate and argue, I just saturate that place with my absence. I just leave, because you're never going to win somebody who's always wanting to argue and fuss. But they have a head knowledge, but they do not have a heart knowledge. And that's the problem with these Jews here in John chapter 8 and verse number 30. Because if you look back in verse 30, they say, we believe. But by the end of the chapter, they're trying to kill Jesus, stone him to death. Look right here. Not everybody who says, I believe, is actually born again. Not everybody who says, I believe in the virgin birth, I believe in the substitutionary death of Christ, I believe in the bodily resurrection, I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back, I believe. Not everybody who says, I believe, is actually really saved and born again. So how do you find this truth? So let's kind of look here for a second. Remember a moment ago, God's Word, God's Son, God's Spirit? How do you know the truth? How do you discover the truth? And I love this. God knew what I needed. And so God gave me a book that my mind can study. And God gave me a person that my heart can love. His name is Jesus. And then God gives me His Spirit, a power, the power to do what I know is true. And again, that's the problem with so many of our church members today. They have a head knowledge, but they do not have a heart knowledge. They have a head love of studying, but they do not have a heart love for Jesus. And Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Truth is an absolute fact, and truth can actually be found. And then number three, this morning on a holiday weekend, this is my present, my gift to you today, a short sermon. Don't expect this next Sunday. Don't come back next Sunday and say, hey, I want another short sermon. This is a rarity for me, all right? But look down here, number three, truth acted upon brings freedom, because Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When you know the truth and obey the truth, you will enjoy the truth. Anybody here raised on the farm? Anybody here country? Can I see? Anybody raised on the farm? Yeah, so you know this. You already know that your milk actually comes from cows, not just some plastic jug out of the grocery store, okay? Did you know that years ago, a majority of our senators did not know where milk came from? That explains a lot. Can I say amen to that? You know what a politician is? I can say this. You know what a politician is? Poly, mini, tick, blood-sucking. Mini, okay, so, bad preacher joke. If you're raised in the country, you know this. You take a seed, a farmer takes a seed, and he plants it in the ground. And when you plant that seed in the ground, it breaks apart, sprouts, and produces more fruit. And in that fruit is more seed to go back in the ground in order to break apart, sprout, and produce even more seed. And that's how truth is. When you act upon truth, it brings more and more and more freedom. The more you grasp, the more you rely, the more you submit yourself to the freedom of God's Word, God's Son, and God's Spirit, the more freedom that you are going to have. So let's wrap it up here this morning. How are you to respond to the truth? So the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and then points you, reveals you the Son of God. Out at the West Campus, we've got some banners. We've got these curtains like we have up here right now. And I told the guys out there this morning, you know, what I want to do one of these days is I want to kind of come out like Johnny Carson did years ago. Anybody old enough to remember that? Was it the Tonight Show? And you'd have the curtain come out. So that's what the word reveal means. It means the curtain is pulled back and you see it, who it is. And so the Word of God, the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and reveals to you the Son of God. And so when that happens, here's the question for today. How do you respond? How do you respond? When the Bible, God's Word says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. How do you respond? When Jesus says, unless you believe in me, you will perish, you will die in your sin. How do you respond? When the Spirit says, hey, let me lead you to the truth, and by the way, His name is Jesus. How do you respond? Because how you respond to that determines where you're going to spend eternity. How you respond to that determines your character. How you respond to that determines what kind of life you're going to live here and now. How are you going to respond? Now, you've got your Bible still open real quickly. Look down there in verse 48. In verse 48, the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan? Watch this. And have a demon. Verse 30, they said, we believe. Verse 48, they said, you're demon possessed. So this message goes right to the heart of what we need as a church. This message goes right to the heart of what we need as a city. This message goes right to the heart of what we need as a nation. Because there is no middle ground. There is no middle of the road. There is no middle way. It's either truth or it's lies. It's either Jesus or it's Satan. It's either freedom or it's bondage. It's either life or it is murder. And religion is not going to give you freedom. It's not strong enough. And philosophy is not going to bring you freedom. It's not smart enough. And even man is not going to give you freedom. He's not big enough. Only Jesus can give you true freedom. Because Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I wonder this morning, have you ever come to know Jesus? Not head knowledge, not the songs you sang in VBS or children's church, not the Bible stories that you read in that little children's encyclopedia, the little children's Bible you used to see in all the dentist office. Do you know Jesus? Has the Spirit of God taken the Word of God and revealed to you the Son of God? And have you realized that you are a sinner, repented of your sin, and placed your faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to save you? And if you haven't, and you're in the room this morning or even watching with us online, If you haven't done that, can I ask you this question? What good reason could you give this morning for not doing that before you leave or log off today? What good reason could you give today for not giving your life to Jesus?